Ah, welcome back to Dolphinville. Here we are, back again, in this experiment in time and space, where reality is what we choose to believe it is. Right here in the middle of the Pacific, the great Grand Pacific, on planet Gaia, here floating in the middle of the universe. We are opening a new frequency band of information for you today, as we have with every show, trying to bring a new sensibility to the airwaves that are going out all over the planet. And the people who have enjoyed these shows and programs in the past have given us some really positive feedback letters. I appreciate everything that you've been saying, and hopefully you'll continue to tell your friends that this is happening and this kind of information is available to you. Today we're going to share some more information along the lines that we have so far. As you know, Joan Ocean came here a number of years ago and established a communication link with the dolphins and whales. And following Joan have been a number of people, and myself included. But before I came, and in the midst of Joan's work here on the Big Island, good friends of hers, Trish Reagan and Doug Hackett, followed about 10 years ago. And they were brought over at Joan's request to sort of get involved in the dolphin experience here to kind of help her out with the inundating people who were asking her. So today we're going to have a chance to talk with Trish and learn about her experiences. We, of course, deal with a wide range of information here on Dolphinville. And I want everybody to know that, you know, part of the experience here is getting different perspectives on what we think is one of the most phenomenal things that are going on right now. We do know that we're not alone in the universe, and the physical proof of that, more than ever, is being shown to us by the dolphins and the whales. And the stories that people come away seem to be compounding over and over again that we are not alone. We're not the only intelligent species here. And the dolphins and whales demonstrate their own alien intelligence and also form platforms for multidimensional awareness for many of us. So today, Trish, who is a multidimensional being, if I ever saw one, and she's a communicator with the other worlds through the dolphins and whales, but beyond the human experience into the spirit realms. And today, Trish will share some of her experiences with both this side of the reality curtain and the other side of the reality curtain, and hopefully show us some of the great information that is coming from both sides. Trish, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Douglas. And I really personally want to thank you so much for this service that you're doing, not only for the world, but for our little community here. Mm-hmm. It's so wonderful to listen to all the different interesting people that you have coming here and supporting our community, our Dolphinville lovers.
Well, you're certainly adding to that, Trish. And one of the enjoyable things of knowing you and Doug over the last almost 7 years that I've been here is just to watch how you've interacted with people and what your heart has told you. And you've been acting out of heart, and part of your experience here has been a part of that. And we'll get into that story. Before we do, I just want to remind everybody that we're being brought to you by Photon.net. Randy Barris and the people at Photon have provided this service so that we can broadcast this band of frequency out on a global basis. So I'm very, very grateful to Randy for providing that service to us. And for those of you who do not know us yet, this is Dolphinville.com. We are a free community of minds and souls that people sign up from all over the world. And we're here with a common belief that we do recognize another sentient being, another sentient species here on the planet. At Dolphinville, we have various ways to communicate with one another. And we also give you a taste of what it's like to be here in the physical. So without further ado, I want to get into some of that physical reality that Trish and I have shared in the waters. We've had some great swims together and looked at over one another with dolphins in between us many, many times. Why don't we just get involved with your story? I mean, it's 10 years now that you've been here, but back up a little bit farther. What started this whole magical journey for you that's led you this far?
Oh, my goodness. My life. Let us put it that way. Well, I believe as many, many people and many of your listeners, I'm sure, have come to a point in their lives at some point at which they began to search for the real truth. Many of us were raised in religions that were limiting for us, and we didn't know what reality really was until we began that search and that journey. And so I would say my journey began probably 25 or 30 years ago. And through...
Was there something that started you on that? Was it an event, a trauma in your life, or somebody that you heard that says, oh, this is stuff that I want to pursue that you can recall?
Well, I would say it was catalyzed by troubles in my marriage, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when I was about, let's say, maybe 27 years old or so, mm-hmm. and my world kind of fell apart, what I thought was real, mm-hmm. fell apart. And yes, and so at that point... What happened to me was that I had to leave behind my former religious background, which was very strict Catholic upbringing, in order to become healthy psychologically. Mm-hmm. Because I started getting counseling and realized at that point how very neurotic I really was, mm-hmm. you know, and really opened up a deep, deep inner journey. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, in discovering more and more about my true self and my true feelings that I had hidden all my life because I had to be the good girl, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. when I began to discover what was really inside of me, I came across a teaching called psychosynthesis. And that was so fascinating to me because it brought together my spirituality and my psychology. Mm-hmm. I could bridge that gap mm-hmm. in a way that fulfilled me totally. And so that really was the beginning of the journey. And then from there, I began to take many classes and read all the books on metaphysics and, of course, began to answer the questions for myself that I had in my heart. Mm-hmm. And, and so I feel that all of those years of healing, inner healing from a dysfunctional family, wonderful, loving family, but very dysfunctional too, as many of us have experienced, you know.
I've yet to meet the perfect functioning family, I'm afraid.
I agree with you. But yes, I believe that, you know, luck is at the intersection of opportunity and preparedness. And so I believe that my willingness to go the journey, you know, to go the distance, mm-hmm. to go as far as I needed to go, mm-hmm. to truly find out who I was and why I was here, mm-hmm. and to find joy. My search for that absolutely prepared me for the calling that occurred after Doug and I were married and did not have any idea that we would be coming to Hawaii and mm-hmm. swimming with dolphins and doing that kind of work. But at that point, I believe my willingness to, you know, just go as deep as possible prepared me to be ready to hear that call. Hmm. And it was a dramatic calling, but I'm sure we'll talk about the whole story when Doug and I are on. But,
Yeah. Well, you and Doug have been kind of in a spiritual partnership since your marriage in 1992. Together, you founded the Dolphin Spirit of Hawaii back in 1994. And you experienced a dramatic spiritual calling to, as you call it, jump off the cliff mm-hmm. and leave your regular professional lives behind in California, move to Hawaii, and to work with something at that time, which is pretty far-fetched, wild dolphins or dolphins who are swimming free in the ocean. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of courage, but a lot of the lessons that we have taken upon ourselves are usually brought on because we recognize that a level of healing can take place. And the only way it can take place is if we're willing to go and overcome some of those blocks and some of those areas that were preventing us from seeing the totality of who we really are. So the deprogramming that we all had to experience usually started with something that says, well, this is just not working. I am at the end of my rope here. No matter what I've been taught or trained or what my belief system is, it just doesn't work anymore. So I'm letting go of this. I'm surrendering it and asking you maybe a bigger force, a larger aspect of the universe to come in and get it straightened out. So I think you're following your course and the calling, which is mm-hmm. the name of the album of our theme music here by Rafael Gutierrez, called The Calling. It's about what we all sensed. What was it that we felt from deep within us? I know since the time that you've been here, you've conducted your transformative dolphin swim seminars with hundreds and hundreds of people from all over the world. You and Doug have a beautiful home in Kona, which was kind of like the base for all of this and still is. Mm-hmm. You've kind of gone through many, many changes over that period of time. And I hope you have a chance to just, you know, explore the differences from when you stepped off the plane back in 1994 with the whole potentiality and unknown there. It must have been terribly exciting and frightening at the same time.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, Douglas, if we hadn't had the kind of calling that we did, which was a lightning bolt of white light.
Literally, I think you told me, right?
Yes. Just went right through my body and said, go do this work. I know that at that time, I had evolved quite a bit in my spiritual journey, but I was not open to jumping off the cliff unless I had that major nudge from spirit. But yes, and then when we got here, of course, I had sold all our furniture, left our careers, our families, everything, moved here. That is when all my fear came up and really came up big time. As you know, on the Big Island, this is a very powerful place here on this Big Island. And it just catalyzed what was really the next level of my spiritual growth.
Radical trust, you might say.
Yeah, radical trust, absolutely, and really went deep.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Joan Ocean provided a big anchor. Joan was the primary reason that I came here for one of her workshops, which was the first workshop for Dolphins Into the Future, and that's where I first met you. We were kind of the guinea pigs of this new workshop format that Joan was trying out, actually projecting our consciousness through these channels of meditation into a future state of being and remote viewing. And these were kind of like radical new ideas at the time, and we've all kind of like gotten accustomed to those. I know that over the period of time that you've been here and some of these things that you've gone through has allowed you to bring in some really magnificent information. You would be called a visionary writer now because you've translated a lot of these experiences and transitions into higher realms into a series of books. The books, which are called Essential Joy, Finding It, Keeping It, Ensuring It, are actually a trilogy of books, of which there are two that are out there right now. The title of the series, Essential Joy, is about the essential joy. But what is the essential part of that joy?
Well, I love what Webster says about, not you, but
oh, that was Webster. My distant cousin, Daniel.
Right. I love what Webster says about essential joy. And he says, it is a fundamental, irreducible constituent of a whole, incapable of being dispensed with. That is the that is what he says about essential.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I see essential joy is that the joy that we come to at the depth of the core of our being, when we come to that place where we really find out why we are here and who we are, and when we can touch the essence of our soul's energy, that is essential joy. That is the joy of knowing on the deepest levels all of the, or having the questions that we've had for all of our lives being answered in our hearts. That is essential joy. It's the joy of knowing that we are one with the divine. We are an expression of the divine. And I believe that when one finds that joy, one can oversee their whole lives from the perspective that we are all one and that we are connected with the divine so deeply that it really doesn't matter. In a way, you know, you can say it. Nothing really matters as much as that connection in love and in compassion to each other. And so to me, that's a resonance of joy. And it really, it doesn't mean when I speak about essential joy, it doesn't mean the emotion of joy necessarily of, you know, oh, I'm so joyous and jumping up and down and celebrating in that way. To me, essential joy is it's like a deep tone within our hearts, and it's a tone of knowingness that through anything that we are experiencing in life, even the most challenging things, even the really deep emotional experiences that we have, if we have that inner knowing of the fact that all of these experiences are leading us to know who we are, and if that really is the background of our reason for being and our reason for living and of our actions and our choices, then there is always that essence of joy.
Yeah, it's that's really a wonderful way of putting that. Last week's guest, Dr. Lori Moore, talked about getting in touch with what she called the gratitude. And she even did a little exercise about thinking about feeling, that feeling of gratitude. And when, as you were describing it, And that core essence of joy seems to go beyond just the happiness of the moment, but really reach and touch down to a soul level. And the word gratitude just sort of came up naturally as a parallel feeling of what that essence and core feeling was about.
Oh, yes. I mean, gratitude is one of the mainstays of joy. Mm-hmm. When you are in joy, you are in gratitude naturally. Mm-hmm. And also, another thing is, when you are in joy, there is no room for fear. Mm-hmm. And you know how many say that fear is the opposite of love. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in joy, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say just a few things about the general vision for me, or the metaphor that has really overseen the books and is the premise for all of my thinking and all of the books, is a vision that I had years ago that really explained what, quote, quote, God is, or this intelligence that mm-hmm. holds it all together. Mm-hmm. And I just would like to share that.
Please,
because
please.
I think when people can connect with that, and there are many ways of seeing this truth, mm-hmm. but this way worked for me. Mm-hmm. And if people can just visualize it, they can sort of latch on to that understanding as to who we are. Mm-hmm. And so what the vision came to me was that God came to me as the sun, as just like a sun, mm-hmm. a source of fire, a source of light, a source of power. And what I saw was that if God is all that is, then God needs to separate itself from that core essence in order to kind of look back at itself and say, I exist, I am. And so I saw that, I'll say God, but, you know, there are so many different ways of saying it. As God would have a possibility come from the intelligence, he would put it out as a ray of light. That's how I saw it. Mm-hmm. And so I saw that one ray of light from this source of intelligence is an extension of God, of the all that is. And it is an individual extension, and so that represents, let us say, one soul. Hmm. And so God sends out this energy, and it goes out in a straight line. The farther it goes away from the source, the more separate it becomes from the source and from the other souls that are being projected mm-hmm. at the same time. And yet there is a scientific law that there are no straight lines of light in the universe. Mm-hmm. So that ray of light that is representing a soul must at some point begin to turn. And if that is so, then eventually it will make its way back to the source. And so that's how I see our journey as human beings, mm-hmm. Or as souls. I see then that at that point where that light beam begins to turn back, that begins our consciousness, our awakening, and that the journey back to the source is simply our, let us say, many lifetimes of learnings and understandings and growing closer and closer and evolving and becoming enlightened. And so that when we are enlightened, we can bring our point of consciousness back to the one and know that we are that one. Mm-hmm. And so I just love that metaphor.
Yes, yes. And it kind of leads into the title of your first book, I believe, which is called The Art of Balance. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, the way that came to me, first of all, was that I had a vision of, I asked for my next step. What is my next step? And I had a vision of a triangle with a line down the middle. And I asked Spirit, well, what does that mean? And Spirit showed me on the outside of the triangle different levels of needs that the human being needs in order to be in joy and to be fulfilled. And on the inside of the triangle, on one side, were the positive masculine qualities within us that we need to be aware of, and on the other side were the positive feminine qualities. And that these qualities needed to be in balance in order to meet each of these needs. And the needs came to me, such as sustenance and then security and trust and presence and freedom and love and connection and creativity and meaning and laughter and joy and spirituality.
You were identifying them as male or female attributes?
No. These were the needs.
Outside of the
triangle. The triangle.
Got it.
And then within the triangle, I was shown that with sustenance, the feminine quality would be openness. And the masculine quality would be the ability to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was taught through spirit how to talk about these things. And the information was pretty much channeled to me. How you can balance out the masculine and feminine in order to meet all of those needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that first book is it's sort of a basic book about life. You know, how do we do this? And how do we do it with the essence of our spirituality overseeing all of it?
Hmm.
Because when you begin the journey, if you just begin with sustenance and you look at, you know, am I living in a place that allows my soul to flourish? You know, and how do I do that, and how do I connect with the earth? And then you move into the aspect of security and, you know, am I secure? If you understand that you are God or you are one with God, then you know you are secure because nothing matters on the physical because it's our spirit that goes on forever and into eternity. And nothing can take that away, you know. So it's a very logical way of moving into spirituality. And so I loved writing the book. It was so wonderful. And and in the book, I share a lot of the stories about my own journey and how I came out of a very much despair in my young years when I really had no idea who I was or what I was feeling, and how I made that journey. And I do hope that, you know, it can really assist other people who are kind of stuck in certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times the words sound so simple, you know.
Mm.
I mean, here's the choice, and you either act out of love or act out of fear. And yet we're more emotional beings. And as we all know, the emotional definitions are not quite so clear as logical ones. And we find ourselves wavering between what sounds good on paper and what our heart is really capable of doing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is really the art of balance. When I think of the art of balance, is somewhere between what the heart, mind, and the head brain are dictating will give us a sense of joy and well-being.
Yes, absolutely. And it is about keeping on, keeping on. You know, that's a big part of it, too. It's about not giving up and just going until you find that joy, because you can find it. Anybody can find it. Hmm. It is there. The reason you can find it is that it's in our hearts, and it is the resonance of our soul's energy.
There's got to be a horse in here somewhere.
Exactly.
Well, the second in the series of the book, which you call Surrender to Magnificence, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, often people think of the word surrender in relationship to the cops and robbers or, you know, the movies we used to watch when we were little, you know, that it's giving up and letting go. But what I'm speaking of, and actually what Spirit has told me, that surrender to magnificence means basically letting go, getting out of our way, and letting our magnificent spirit come forth and sort of run our lives, you know. It's we all have ego, and we have to have ego in order to be third-dimensional beings. However, I call the negative ego is the part of us that really wants to be in control and doesn't want us to find the oneness, because the ego is comfortable being separate from the source of all that is.
Mm.
And so I believe that the surrender is letting go of the negative ego, letting go of the mind that wants to really control everything, and allowing our souls to come forth, because, I mean, that is the most glorious and wonderful and joyous way to live life. And in a way, I see our souls and our spirits as a river of liquid light.
And I like
so,
that.
Yeah. When I see it that way, I see that we can be vehicles of this river. We can allow this river of light just to flow through from our hearts, flowing out into the world in just a very beautiful and loving way that can empower not only us, but others who are around us. And so if we just surrender to that and we allow that river to flow, then we are, you know, we are really living in that joy.
Mm. Well, that sounds like a beautiful metaphor. One of the analogies to ego that came to me some number of years ago, I said to somebody at one time that ego is like cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit will spice up the dish. A little bit more, and it starts to take over the plate. And if you overindulge in ego, you end up with heartburn.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, we all know, and we can look back into our lives and see the times that the ego was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what comes out of that is just more confusion and more being stuck. And, you know, I have found that the more I step aside and allow the soul to come forth, the easier everything is. It flows, and it's just so much more fun.
Well, fun is a keynote here. I think one of the things that we can agree upon that the dolphins have demonstrated to us is something about essential joy. And people who swim with dolphins, and this almost goes without exception, seem to leave in a state of being where they have been in touch with their own sacred joy. I would call it their heart song in a way, because the dolphins have reminded them of what it feels like to be in that state, almost like childlike wonder again, where there aren't any ego matters or any of the measures that we have learned to accommodate as we grow older. Instead, we're back at that level of opening up to everything in the universe, such as a child would,
mm-hmm.
and yet we're really more mature in our thinking. It's not just taking it like a child, but understanding it more on a higher level. So,
yes. And the dolphins are masters of joy, of course.
They are indeed. You know, maybe it's a biological thing that they've developed a little smile, it seems, all the time, which we just reminds us of that they must be in a state of higher joy.
Yes. Yeah. And I would like to just expand a little bit further on book two.
Please.
On surrender to magnificence. And what it's all about are three basic aspects of life. One is radical trust, and that's all about letting go of fear. And I think I was the master of fear in my life, and so I have learned many methods. And so I share the understanding that I have about fear and about how do you really move into radical trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talk about surrendering to spirit and letting go of attachments. You know, that's one of the big things that's very important in order to find joy, is to be unattached, you know. And then the third part is about radiating our light. How do we do that? How do we get in touch with our soul's energy? And how do we really radiate that out into the world so that, you know, we can be beacons of light?
Well, these are kind of self-conscious issues, too. You know, one, finding and getting in touch with that aspect of ourselves that we would identify as joy and connected to spirit. And then finding that that is a true connection. We're not deluding, self-deluding, or we haven't followed somebody else's formula to get there, and only to find out that it was a cardboard cutout representation of what it was really like. And then to carry it to the next level, I think, be able to express that sincerely, because you definitely feel it from the very core of yourself. And
mm-hmm.
I know that it takes a bit of courage, it takes a bit of commitment, it takes a bit of self-confidence to be able to actually step up and say, now I've got all this, I'm not just going to hold it to myself, I'm going to start expressing it to others. And I would say that's where you've taken this.
Yes. And oh, yes. I one thing that I always believed in my younger years was that I would never be able to really live up to my full potential.
Mm.
I just thought, well, I'm too wounded. I just can't get over all these things, and I'll just never be able to do that. And now I feel that I'm trying, but, you know, I do feel that I'm much more in touch with that essence that we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And that also brings me to another thing that I'd like to say about why it's important to find joy. It is important for everyone to find joy. I believe that joy can be a catalyst for world peace, because when one person comes to that place of inner joy and inner knowing, then that person's life, their energy, their presence affects all who are around them in a positive way. And it's a ripple effect, as you know, and we all talk about the 100th monkey syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sheldrick.
Yeah, I really believe that the more people who can find that essence of joy within them, mm-hmm. that we can change the world. I believe that deep, deep, deep mm-hmm. down in my heart.
Well, I pointed out to people, you know, you hear the saying, 6 degrees of separation. There are people who are affected by your breath, by every motion that you have and every emotion that you feel that you may never even see in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But because of one ripple effect, the butterfly effect or whatever, one thing affecting another, there's kind of like a set of dominoes that go down as you open up an area of your heart and create an energy stream. And I've seen evidence of that. And it seems to come back in the strangest of ways, you know. You'll hear the synchronicities of how something that you may have done or knew about or were a part of affected somebody who you never thought that you would have met or never ordinarily would have heard of.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the wonderment of what we're dealing with here in this mm-hmm. space and time. Mm-hmm. Well, we've come up on a break time. I'm going to have you listen to a little bit of Michael Hammer's music. Michael is a musician who lives here in Dolphinville and somebody who's been very generous with his time. As a matter of fact, he's been used by a number of people to facilitate their meditations. Trish has beautiful CDs that she's done for meditations, and I want to use Michael here because he's been very generous in lending his musicianship to her backgrounds. What are the names of those CDs that in case listeners wanted to go track them down?
Oh, yes. We have Dolphins and Angels. One side is Dolphin Love, and the other is Angelic Dolphin Ascension, where the dolphins and angels come together and bring us to our souls. Another CD is from my Sacred Partnership Workshops. Mm-hmm. One side is Healing and Completing Past Relationships, and the other side is Balancing the Masculine and Feminine Within. And then the third CD is called The Golden Vessel Anointing.
Mm.
And that is about healing the feminine wound of mankind.
Mm.
And then on track two is a morning meditation that kind of prepares you for the day.
Yeah, I can see you're still used to the old 45, side one and side two. CD is only one side of these times. Well, anyway, let's listen to a little bit of the sampler album of Michael Hammer. We'll be back in a couple of minutes and talk about the third book in this series, Into the Light, which I think is some fascinating new material that Trish is all about. So we'll be back in a few.
Thank you.
Michael Hammer, really a fantastic musician who's able to create these ambient sound waves that really assist us to go into the inner realms. I've always admired his music. He's got a number of albums, and he's one of the people that we feature on the Dolphinville gift store. If you're so have some time and you want to trip around, there's some interesting things on the Dolphinville gift store, including the albums that you hear here on the radio. The Calling is our theme album music. Raphael and Kutera, who are from Maui, have worked with the Dolphins and Whales and their tantric energies for a number of years. Their album, The Calling, is available online. And we're in the process of creating a shopping cart using Photon.net, one of the many services that Photon.net provides for web users. As an internet service provider, they can provide service for all over the country. Dial-up service is available through thousands of outlets all over the United States. They also do web hosting for websites. They have new technologies that we're introducing in addition to the broadcast. We're introducing a brand new technology of virtual tours. And so if you have some time and inclination, please check out photon.net and see some of the things that we're cooking up here with Randy Barris. Talking here with Trish Reagan, who is a mainstay of the Dolphinville community. She and her husband, Doug Hackett, have been living here, working, sharing their loves, experience, their life's work with the people who've come into their lives. It's been surrounded around the dolphin and whale experiences, mostly the dolphins in the bay, off of the Kona coast here on the Big Island of Hawaii. And the two of them have really provided an anchor point for the others who have chosen to move here from one place or another. They do either biweekly or weekly meditations in their homes, opening it up to people in the community and people who might be visiting to come in and share in the spirit of being here in unity. We are all attempting to become more of a conscious community in our thoughts and deeds, and this is one step where we offer these kinds of things. Doug and Trish have always been information providers and always bent over backwards to help people to acclimate themselves or find what they're really looking for. In fact, they've kind of branched out. The two of them not only do the spiritual work with their seminars and in the books and writings, the two of them also work with people in finding places to live here. They've gotten their licenses for real estate, and so if you feel the calling and you're looking not only for a calling to be here, know that there are people such as Doug and Trish who can take you all the way and find that ideal dream space to be in. So we're talking about where this has led you. You've come through so many changes, and I know over the last 10 years you must have witnessed a huge change in not only yourself, but the quality of people and the things around you. I've only been here about 6 years myself, and you know, one would hardly recognize the landscape as it's changed so much. What would you say is the most pronounced change in the people and the quality of people that you've seen over these last 10 years, Trish?
Oh, wow. Joan was the beginning, you know. Mm-hmm. She was the first one who, in my understanding, who began to really do the research with the dolphins and the communication with the dolphins. And so sure, since 10 years ago, there have been many people who have been absolutely guided to be here. And you know as well, you were guided yourself, Douglas, and so many people come maybe for one time to swim with the dolphins, and then they get this call that says, I have to live here. And so, yes, I see that the people who are here in Dolphinville are people who are following their hearts. They're following their guidance. They're following spirit. Money doesn't matter, really. It's about living their passion and going for their art and their healing and all of the ways that they are contributing to the world. And that's what we find here, is that people are here who are dedicated to creating a better world. They're dedicated to helping the earth in its transition. And so many, so just fascinating people here. And very loving, very giving, very compassionate. It's such a wonderful community. We just absolutely love it.
What do you find there's been any marked changes in personalities or what people are thinking, say, since the change of the millennium, for example?
Yes, I believe that the new energies that are coming to the earth now are just stripping away fear, for one thing. I've seen many people who have struggled at first because, as you know, living on this island is very intense with five volcanoes and being in the place that we are with the major vortex.
Only one active volcano, I might remind everybody.
Yeah, right. But Madame Pele and the...
It seems like five are going off at once at a time.
The Hawaiian spirits and everything, it's just a prime place for growth. And so, yes, I believe that people are coming into more of a radical trust and are opening to a deeper level of their gifts. Mm. More of our friends, I believe, are now coming forth and putting out into the world what their gifts are and not holding back anymore.
Well, I kind of noticed myself there was a shift, and maybe in that anticipation of what might happen when the 2000 clicked over, and oh boy, we made it through, the world is still here, and yet something had shifted very significantly. And as you say, I think a lot of people are stepping in to their level of power, connecting to spirit. The title of your third book is Into the Light, which seems to imply stepping into another level of enlightenment, perhaps. Would that be a way of describing it?
Well, yes. I was told and guided that it would be a book about how do we move to that next level, that next resonance, where we are in total harmony with our soul's energy. And the book is in progress right now because I'm in progress in that journey. Mm-hmm. And I believe we're going to be going on a spiritual journey for 3 months, starting in April. And I believe that that will be book three, really, and our experiences and my courage to come forth with the channeling, which I have held within my little private world for 20 years. This will be how do we do this? How do we really step into that radiance?
Well, you started writing these books almost in a fervor. Because, it was building up and building up, and then it just sort of like downloaded in this huge rush of energy. And they recount a lot of the so-called trials and tribulations that you went through, deep despair, and you had to wrestle with your own demons or your own dark night of the soul. And so often, this is the case where people are able to pull out of their own despair, and in doing so, they really see the healing process take place. But what role would you say the dolphins played in this overall healing scheme for you?
Oh, my gosh. Huge, huge role. Because, as I had said, when we moved here, when we jumped off the cliff, that's when my fear truly came up, and I could feel it in my body. I would wake up in the middle of the night, usually 2 in the morning, with just a gut-wrenching pain in my stomach.
Like an ulcer.
Yeah, like ulcers. It was just a very, very deep fear. Mm-hmm. And I remember going out in the living room and trying all my spiritual practices to kind of let that fear go through, and nothing would work. And then I would just go out in the morning and swim with the dolphins. And the fear would magically just go away. And I kept hearing from the dolphins this simple message: keep on going, you're totally supported. Mm. Just keep on going. And, we began our seminars with very few people, of course, and we were swiftly going through our savings. And I discovered that my major fear was about financial security. And here we were with no paycheck. I was used to getting a paycheck, And so the dolphins have just totally opened me up so deeply to knowing who I am and to my heart and to knowing that I'm supported. And when I kept hearing that message from them over the months and months, I could begin to let go. And you know how it is when you're floating in the ocean, and if you just float and you let go of all tension in your body and you imagine that the ocean is the universe holding you up, That is what I would do. And then I would hear their sounds. And the dolphin sounds then would help me to absorb that sense of trust into my body. So they have played a major role in this.
Well, what was your first dolphin encounter like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, when we first came here and swam with the dolphins, we came to visit Joan after she had showed us her video, and it was, like, magical. We said, we have to go swim with dolphins. And the fun for me was that we first heard their song. And we were sort of swimming out gently into the bay, and we heard their singing. And I could feel that vibration on my body. Mm. And I could then feel their sonar as they sonared us. And it was a sensation I've never felt. And then when we saw them coming right to us, I just felt as though these were old friends. Mm. I felt that, oh my gosh, this is another species of being who loves me. I could feel their love. Mm. And I could feel them just inviting us in. And then, you know, to watch them do their dancing and their playing, and they were so affectionate with each other. It was just magical. Mm. Like everyone who has ever swam with dolphins knows that feeling.
Yeah, it is quite a magic. It doesn't even get close to it. Mm. And we talked about the quality of the water itself actually changing texture, changing frequencies, mm-hmm. and now that we know the water does carry specific forms of information, crystalline structures, and can affect our bodies, which are mostly water as well, it's easy to see how an animal such as the dolphin, who lives in the water and is totally acclimated mm-hmm. to that environment, has used sound and mastered the whole spectrum of sound as a means to really understand the subtleties and the subtle vibrational qualities of information as it's passed between mm-hmm. living entities.
Absolutely.
And as Joan pointed out, and all of us seem to recognize, that it's beyond just the physical sensation. It seems to be able to encourage us to go into what one might say an altered state of awareness, so that we begin to see, as Monroe so aptly put, Robert Monroe said, that we are more than our physical selves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that the dolphins provided for me, really, without a linear description, without a logical reason, some part of me started to know that I was more than my physical self.
Yes, absolutely. They help us. They give us a memory. They open up our memory mm-hmm. as to who we are as spiritual beings. And when you experience the way that they live, and you can see that they are here to show us, this is easy. This mm-hmm. can be easy and joyous.
Right.
And this is really how we are to go through the world.
We were intended to be the same.
Yes. And when we clear the old emotional blocks and the misperceptions and the false beliefs,
mm-hmm.
The more we clear and clear and clear, the more we become these vessels of this liquid light that I was speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a flowing and gentle and beautiful way to live. That's
really
what
is.
The dolphins show us.
Well, yeah, it is a beautiful way to live, a beautiful way to feel. And whether or not, wherever you're coming from, you could be a truck driver from Alabama, and I swear that if you put yourself in that situation, floating face down,
mm-hmm.
no gravity, opening your mind and your heart to an experience and have an opportunity to see this beautiful creature come up and display some power and grace that's so far beyond your description or anything you may have seen, it is a transformative experience. And the seminars that Joan does and that you and Doug both provide are using that transformative experience then to help people, when they get back on land, back in the gravity situation, how to sort it out so that you can get back to what that feels like and hold on to it without having to be in the ocean.
Exactly. And that's one of the greatest values of the seminars and the group energy, is that it awakens within us that sense and feeling of that ultimate essential joy.
Mm-hmm.
And then people know it, because many times people go through life and they never can touch that. They don't have a means to touch it. And so the dolphins are one way that they can really touch that essence and that feeling, and then their souls just move them in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And it's like child's play,
mm-hmm.
because so often if we were in the playground, and this is predisposed, instead of running away from the bully or having some kind of a playground, there is an openness that was shared between us as children.
Mm-hmm.
And the dolphins, again, are asking us to step back into that reality before the cultural programming started to make us feel such things as guilt or shame or blame regarding something that we may or may not have done according to some formula that we were given as the dictates of life.
Yes, exactly. Mm.
Well, fortunately, we're moving beyond that. And I think part of the work that we're all involved in is showing that there are new examples coming in. There's new ways of thinking about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And part of your things, you've been channeling for a long, long time, but more of a very private, personal thing, where you would listen in your own meditations and you would get the messages or use whatever, as we often do. Those of us who are on our spiritual path will look for the signs around us to verify that our thoughts are, you know, are connecting to something. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of stepped up. It's become more of something that you've relied on, and now you've actually introduced soul readings into the light soul readings as part of your dynamic.
Yes, and it's interesting that you talk about the fact that, yes, it takes a level of, I guess, acceptance of who we are to have the courage to put that forth. Because, yes, I started channeling 20 years ago. It started with automatic writing, actually. And it was, I would read what I was writing and I would say, you know, those are not my words. I couldn't think that up. And yet I still had a little bit of doubt inside of me as to, you know, is this really real? And are these beings really who they say they are? And so I began to listen to that. And then when Doug and I came together, I started channeling out loud just for he and I. And that's how we've been sort of guided throughout our life together, is by listening to what we're hearing in the channeling. And but I didn't have the courage to bring it forth into the world until last year.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. It's just, you know, it took time to mature, perhaps.
Yes, and I had to trust. For me, it was very important that I really could trust that this was real, that these beings were there. You know, I mean, a large part of myself knew that, but there was still that little doubting Thomas, mm-hmm. and I could not bring it forth in integrity unless I was absolutely, positively sure that it was valuable and that these beings were actually, you know, speaking through me. Mm-hmm. And the way it came about was I was asked to do a reading by a woman friend of mine, and because she had known that Doug and I were doing this together. And I said, well, all right, we'll try it, you know, we'll see what happens. And it was so powerful for her, and it really made a difference in her life. And so she told a friend, and then a friend, and a friend, and it just started happening mm-hmm. Naturally. And now I have found that I'm working with people from all over. You know, I do phone sessions as well as in-person sessions. And I have found that the information is just exactly right on for people mm-hmm. and for what they need to hear. And what I love about the soul readings, and what I was guided by Spirit, is that that it is really guided by the person's soul. And that is where the guidance originates. And what I do is, when I'm in a reading, we create a sacred space, and then I bring in all of the ascended masters and the angels and archangels and the dolphins and the whales, and those are the beings that I channel, different ones.
Whenever geckos decide to show up.
He's telling us it's true.
Yes, that's right.
But anyway, I bring them all into the circle, and then we make a deep connection with the person's soul to our hearts. And then the person will ask questions about their life, and I'll direct those questions to the person's soul. And then I'll ask the soul to give me a vision, because I am clairvoyant, and I'll see a very clear, very symbolic picture, or suddenly I'll see a past life very clearly that will begin to unfold the answers to the questions. Mm. And so then I direct, I'll explain, you know, to the person who's coming to me what the vision is, and I won't understand it at that point. And then I'll ask the soul, or if there's any other being that's more appropriate, to come and speak to that person about that. And then I'll start channeling some information and wisdom.
Wow. Well, I towards the end of the show, we're going to experience some of that firsthand, and hopefully you'll be in a position where you'll be able to open up the channel and share some of the information as it's coming in. But first, I want to explore some of the other things that we wanted to talk about. We talked about dolphins and of course, people think about whales now. And then I had an opportunity to talk with Joan before she took off. She's down in the Dominican Republic now, swimming with the large humpback whales. It's one of the few places in the world that actually has regulations that allow you to go out and be with the whales. You and Doug took that journey, what, 6 or 7 years ago to join Joe on one of her early sojourns down into the Dominican.
Yeah,
what was that like for you?
Actually, it was in 2000.
Was it?
Yes, And, oh, it was just so unbelievably magnificent. I had such a clear message from the whales during that week to just stop and to do nothing and to be quiet that it catalyzed for me about 3 years of very deep inward work. You know, I had thought I had done so much work on myself, you know, over the years, and I thought I had pretty much come to a place where I felt very comfortable. But when we were with the whales and they said, okay, go within now and be quiet, I went to much deeper levels. And that's what catalyzed the books coming forth, was that time with myself to really look at all of the deeper questions about life and to get to the very root of my fear so that I could completely clear the basic fears that I had in my life. Mm-hmm. And so the whales, oh my gosh, yes, they had a major impact on our lives.
Yeah. Well, likewise with me, and I think anybody who's had that experience, there's really no way to describe it. It does take you beyond any explainable way of thinking. But they were the catalyst, because right after that you came back and went into writing the books. How did you get the rest of the material? I know it was personal experience, but how did you gather all that material together and do it in such a focused way?
Oh, I know. It was such a gift, really. It was a gift from Spirit, because I think I told you before that I had the vision about the triangle, and I had first gotten the information, all of the information about The Art of Balance, the first book.
Oh, okay.
See, and I thought that was the book. But when I began to put the information out and I started to plan about how to teach workshops on it, it felt as though it just was not complete. And so that also catalyzed me into a little fear, because then I thought, well, gee, here I know this came from Spirit, but it's not really going out. And so what's the problem? What's going on? And so I had a very profound healing in the summer of 2000. And it was a very, very deep, deep healing where I was really able to go to the depths of the fear. And so after that happened, I was told to meditate for an hour every day for a week. So I did that, and at the end of the week, I asked Spirit, I said, okay, well, what's next? And I had the most profound experience. All of a sudden, I saw myself being brought into a higher realm that was way beyond any other realm that I had accessed before. And I met with a council of beautiful, incredible beings of light. And they put me on an amethyst table. They laid me down on this table. They opened my crown chakra, and they just filled me with the most exquisite love. This loving, loving light came into my body. And then they brought, it was like a beam of light from third dimension, from the earth. You know, they brought the earth energy up into my body from under the table, came through the table into my body. And then at the same time, they brought a beautiful, powerful beam of light from the source down into my body and merged those two energies in my body. And I came into a state of absolute bliss. It was exquisite. And then they asked me to become transparent so that I could then radiate out this energy of merging spirit and matter. And then they told me, they said, this is your purpose, to bring spirit into matter and to share this. And after that, all of a sudden, I got, and Spirit told me, this is not just one book. This is really three books. And they gave me the title of the second book, which was Surrender to Spirit. Surrender to Magnificence. And they told me that book is going to be about the three things that Spirit told Doug and I in 1999. So I just want to tell you that. Mm-hmm. In 1999, Doug and I, on New Year's Day, went into meditation and we asked Spirit, what is the next step for us in order to move into the full abundance of Spirit? And Spirit said there are three things that you need to do. One is to let go of all your fear, all of it. The second one was to surrender to your soul, to Spirit. And the third was to radiate your light out into the world. And so Doug and I said, well, that shouldn't be so hard.
Sounds reasonable.
And then all of a sudden, our seminar started slowing down, and we were able to really face the fear. And so that book, too, then, was to talk about those three aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just perfect. And then they told me, Spirit told me that book three is called Into the Light, and that would be about making the next step then. Once you clear your fear, once you learn how to radiate and surrender, then the next step is to really move into the full radiance and mm-hmm. the full power, and that's what book three will be.
Yeah, interesting. Well, it's funny how things come in threes. Your description of the spiritual process of balancing two aspects of yourself, the heart and mind, are paralleled by some of the things that Nessun Haramein shared from a scientific standpoint on his dynamic understanding of the nature of the universe and how it is a process by which an infinite energy cycle is totally cycling upon itself, and two dynamic forces, which are not separate and have never been separate, somehow are joined in one full perpetual motion that creates abundance beyond abundance. It taps into unlimited forms of energy, and it is the model of consciousness. Mm-hmm. So it's curious. We all have ways of describing perhaps the same, as to use Nassim's terms, event horizon, mm-hmm. that is ourselves recognizing our consciousness into a state of awareness on mm-hmm. the physical plane. So I think it's great that we can sort of find the parallels in these kinds of stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a little time to break. I wanted to use another artist that you've used in your workshops, Tiger Paw, mm-hmm. who lives here. She's a drumming aficionado, and she cut an album here right on the island a year or so ago called The Heart of the Matter. And let's share a little bit of those tunes. And when we come back, we'll talk more about one of the things that you've developed called the immediate process in one of your seminars. And we'll get into some of the channeling things. So hang with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes after we listen to Tiger Paw. Here, and she's been kind of an interesting figure here in the community, does drumming circles for the full moon and lessons for people who want to get in touch with their biorhythms through the drums. We're talking with Trish Reagan, one of the glorious members of Dolphinville here. She and her husband Doug have been a very important part of bringing kind of a stabilizing factor. Their door is always open to people. They're always very helpful in trying to get people to the higher ground. We started talking about, just before the break, one of the things that she's addressed in her first book It's called the immediate process, which is talked about in the first book, and it helps one to move from an upsetting emotion of to joy in just a few moments. How would you do that?
Well, it's so great. I learned this by having an upset in my own life. And Doug and I were having a discussion, and we were, you know, differing on this discussion, and so I was having some upset.
It's called an argument, folks.
Yeah. And so I went into the bath and took a bath, and I just thought, all right, I'm just going to do this whole process that I just learned in the art of balance. And so I went through and I asked myself, you know, do I have a roof over my head right now? Yes, I do. And I went to the next level of need and I said, do I have security? And I said, yes to myself. I am one with God. So yes, I do. And then I moved into trust and I asked, what can I trust right now? And I said, well, I can trust that this moment will turn into another moment. That's one thing I can trust. And moved into the level for the need for presence. And I said, I can move myself into a higher perspective. I can, you know, acknowledge my upset feelings. I'm not going to hide them. And I'm going to just be aware that that's what I'm feeling and be fully present to them. And then I would move into freedom and say, well, I have a choice. I can go further in this process, or I can allow myself to really get into the dark hole and allow my emotions to take over. And then I moved into love and connection, which is a heart circle, a circle of love. And I said, well, what can I give? I can give a hug to Doug, even if I don't feel like it right now. And what can I receive? I can ask for grace to get me through this. And then I moved into creativity, and I asked myself, what's a new way that I can look at this? And I can't remember what came up at that point, but that's what you can ask yourself. And then service is paying attention to and being aware of. And so I thought, well, I can just pay more attention to what is he really saying, what's behind what he's saying. And then I moved into joy, and I said to myself, well, joy is lack of attachment, so what can I let go of? What can I let go of in this discussion? And I found a way to do that. And then into the last need, which was spirituality, and I said, you know, I can just go into a meditation now and come to a place of peace. And it was so surprising because it moved me out of that emotion into a whole new perspective and a whole new way of looking at that moment. Mm. And so that process is in the back of book one, and it's really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice how we discover such things out of a necessity, being the mother of invention as they are.
Yeah.
But some of these things come in from other areas. We don't necessarily evoke them, except maybe an attitude that we do want to have a communication with something beyond the physical. Mm-hmm. You've been having channelings for many, many years now, the so-called beings of light, as you refer to them, mm-hmm. and over that period of time. But What began these adventures? What started this whole thing with being able to reach out and channel the entities, the beings of light?
Well, it was years ago, even before I started on the metaphysical path. I was in a workshop in which we were asked to connect with our center, the center of our being. And
that
so,
sounds pretty metaphysical.
I guess it is, yes. It was under the guise of psychosynthesis. And yes, and so I saw my center as a large golden triangle. And I saw this golden triangle hanging over the ocean. Now that's interesting. Now I just realized that. Anyway, and so I was standing on the beach looking at this golden triangle. And then it was put into my hands. And I turned around, I'm standing on this beach, and I turned around and I saw all of the people in my life standing on the beach. And I was guided to go up to each and every one of them to show them my center, who I really was, this golden triangle. And then I was guided to just connect with them heart to heart on the deepest levels. And I hugged each one, and I tell you, I have never felt so much love. I moved into a level of love that was just ecstatic, really. And so I was doing this with all of these people, and I looked up on this little sort of grassy mound that was beyond the beach, and there was Jesus. And he was sitting up on this mound, and he had his sort of he had his fist on his chin and on his leg, you know, on his knee, just like he was sitting there watching away, and he seemed very casual.
A casual Jesus.
Yeah, it was a casual Jesus. And so he motioned me to come up and sit next to him, and so I sat next to him, and I held his hand, and I felt so much that this was so real. He was there with me. And he just nodded his head to me, and he said, yes. He said, that's what it's all about. That's it right there. Just being in your center and loving. And that's it. And so that was my very first experience with spirit, where I knew that there was a connection made, and I knew that I was making a connection with a being that was real, you know, in an etheric sense, but very real.
Well, we identify using our own filters, is what I call them, you know, our own personal experience. We hang labels on things so that we can be comfortable with what that experience is. Jesus is a major figure in Western, society, and Christianity a major, major force in our belief systems. But I suppose it could have just as easily been a Buddha. In fact, didn't you have an experience with Buddha in Mount Shasta?
Yes, and that was a very interesting experience as well. And you're right. I have a Catholic background, and so I'm very comfortable with Jesus and Mary and all of the saints and those beings. But yes, I was in Mount Shasta. It was the year that I met Doug, actually. And I had a very profound experience with Buddha. And I had no idea about Buddhism. I wasn't interested. I wasn't curious. I just didn't know about it. But I asked for an experience when I was on the mountain, Mount Shasta. I was meditating all day, and I asked for an experience. And
with Buddha?
Just a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm.
You know, one associates Mount Shasta with the so-called ascended masters, which you also have had experiences with. Mm-hmm. So you weren't expecting Buddha to come sliding in.
Not at all, no. So what happened was I saw these large gates. And they looked like they were formed like the Ten Commandments that you see tablets.
The tablets,
you know? Yeah, it was, but they were made out of rock. And I waited, and the doors opened, and I saw in front of me a huge field of fire, and I knew something was very, very important on the other side, but I had to go through the fire first. Well, you know, I had been through the fire many times.
Now, you were up in the snow of Mount Shasta,
right.
And all this has happened, the field of fire.
Right, right. So I did go through the fire, and on the other side were golden doors. So I just waited, and all of a sudden the golden doors opened. And inside was a small cave, and it was covered in gold. And sitting in the middle of the cave was a golden Buddha. And he was sitting in the lotus position, just like some of the pictures I had seen. But he could communicate with me. He could move and talk. And so I just sat down in front of him, didn't know what to expect. So he handed me, he opened his right hand, he said, I have some gifts for you. And he handed me a gold-encrusted and jewel-encrusted dagger, a knife. And at first I thought, oh, this is of the darkness, this is, you know, violence or something. Mm-hmm. So I checked in, and I said, is he of the spirit? And I said, I got yes. So I waited. And then he opened his left hand, and in his hand he had five pearls. And he said, I want you to take each of these pearls one by one and put it up to your third eye. So I took the first pearl and I put it up to my third eye, and I saw this explosion of golden white light. And I heard the words, God is. And then I took the second pearl, put it up to my third eye, and I saw this beautiful iridescent starry veil going around me. And the words were, and when you become human, you separate yourself from that knowledge that God is. And then I took the third one and I put it up to my third eye, and I saw these little explosions of light in my body. And the words were, and there are times in your human incarnation when you can experience God. And then the fourth one I put up to my third eye, and I saw these green beams of light shooting from my heart, piercing the veil, and then coming back as white light. And the words I heard were, and you find God through love, through the heart. And then the fifth one I put up to my third eye, and nothing happened. And I waited and waited, and I said, well, maybe I'm trying too hard, you know. So I said, well, I'll just lay on the mountain. So I lay down on the mountain, and all of a sudden this energy started growing in my body that was very beautiful and very intense. It was like I was being blown up like a balloon, kind of. So this energy was filling up my body more and more and more and more, and then it just stopped at a certain level, and nothing else happened. So I waited and waited, and still nothing happened, and so I thought, well, that's it, you know. And so I thanked Buddha and ended the experience. But the interesting thing was I went back to my sister's to have dinner that night. She lived there. And I was asking her, well, do you know about these pearls and this dagger and all of this? She said, no, I have no idea. So we're eating dinner, and all of a sudden we heard a knock on the door. And it just so happened it was a friend of hers who happened to come by, who she hadn't seen in 18 months, and who just happened to be a Tibetan Buddhist.
Uh-huh.
So she came and sat down, and I said, oh, well, maybe you can tell me about this. And I explained to her the whole thing, and she said, oh, yes, those are gifts from Buddha. She said, that's the knife to cut through the veil of illusion, because this, you know, mm-hmm. this is the illusion according to the Buddhists. And she said, oh, yes, those are the five pearls of knowledge, and those are gifts from Buddha.
Wow. So it's common in Buddhism to have these symbols, the dagger and the five pearls of
evidently,
knowledge.
Evidently, yes. Oh, and the funny thing was, I said, well, but what about that fifth pearl? I said, I didn't get anything. And she said, well, of course not. That's enlightenment, and you're not ready for that yet.
Of course not. Well, that's a wonderful story. Now, how long ago was that?
That was in 1989.
Oh, okay, so yeah. Before you actually came to here,
yes.
You're already dipping into it. Mm-hmm. Now, was this before or after you started to have visionary experiences with the Ascended Masters?
I had been having some experiences, yes, with some mm-hmm. of the Ascended Masters, but not as clearly until Doug and I got together and started meditating together mm-hmm. and asking for visitations. And so what I would do then is I would feel the presence of a certain being, and I could feel the difference in the energy. And then I could see the being in my mind's eye, and then I would see that it was this person or that person or that ascended master, and they would tell me their names, and then they would begin to speak.
Mm. Very interesting stuff. Well, what I'd like to do now is sort of start focusing on this new work that you're getting involved in, into the soul or into the light soul readings.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can give us some background on what got you, you know, involved in that and where you think it's taking you?
Well, as I said, you know, I was asked to do it. I remember, if I really think clearly, I remember years ago working with some friends, you know, who were having maybe a hard time, and I would just ask Spirit, you know, what could they use right now? And I was beginning to get some visions, and I would get pictures that would show me what to do. But I didn't do a lot of that because I still felt that I had a lot more healing to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, since the floodgate has opened, now it's just going word of mouth, and people are telling other people, and I'm beginning to, you know, do this more often, and by telephone and by in person too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great that you have an opportunity to express this and, I guess, work the muscle, so to speak. The more you do it, do you find that it's easier to get into the state of mind or the state of being necessary to bring in and connect up with these things?
Yes, it happens pretty quickly. And the really, really fun and interesting part about it is that sounds are coming through. And these are very high vibrational frequencies that I usually cannot make, you know, with my voice. I'm an alto. But sometimes these sounds are coming from Spirit, and they're very high. And often I'm guided to give people the sound of their soul, so that they can feel that resonance in the body. And what Spirit is telling me often with these readings, and many people are coming saying, you know, I know there's a next step for me. There are so many people who are feeling that they have more to do on the planet, and they don't know what it is. And often what is needed is for them to make that deep connection with the soul first, so that it can grow and just flourish and move from that space outward very gently and very easily and naturally, mm-hmm. rather than, like we have done in the past, use our mind and our ego to figure out what to do. And so that's a large part of the readings now that comes through, I'm finding, are these resonant tones. And I believe today in the channeling that Spirit will gift us with that too.
Some of the higher tones or gecko tones, whatever the case may be. Well, do you have any more stories that illustrate how this connection with Spirit comes through the readings?
Well, some interesting stories, yes. I mean, one story that I love is that I had one woman come for a reading. It was a phone reading. She's from Canada, actually. And she was an actress, and she said, you know I'm supposed to bring my work out into the world in a greater way, but there's something holding me back. I just don't know what it is. So we directed the question to her soul, and the vision that I saw was immediately I went right into a past life of hers where she was a young boy. She was a shepherd in the hills, in the mountains, in England, and this was a couple hundred years ago, and she could see her village from the mountain that she was on with the sheep. And she could see that there were some marauders coming into the village. So she started blowing her horn loudly, and she kept blowing and blowing her horn to warn them. But she was too far up the mountain, they couldn't hear her. And so she could see the marauders coming in and killing all of the villagers, and it was just this horrible experience for her as this young boy. So what Spirit did was they brought in an angel, an angelic presence. It was like a guardian angel of the child at the time. And Spirit asked her to go back to that time to be that little boy, and that the angel would bring her into the town so that he could see the truth, the real truth. And the real truth was that when he walked into the town, and of course the bodies were there, the dead bodies were there, but he could see, and the angel allowed him to see all of the guides coming to his loved ones and taking their spirits into the light. Mm. So it was a deep healing for this child. Mm-hmm. And the resistance to going out into the world was that she felt no one would hear my voice. Mm. No one would really hear me. And so the interesting thing was, after we finished the reading, she said to me, she said, oh my gosh, she said, that is just so phenomenal what you touched into, she said, because all my life I have had nightmares that I'm blowing a horn and nobody can hear it.
Wow. Yeah, I just got chicken skin from that too.
Yeah.
So I guess it doesn't matter whether you're sitting in front of somebody or you're on the telephone with them.
No, because as we know, spirit travels.
There is no time and space.
That's
in that dimension of being.
Yeah.
Well, so do you find that you have more success with telephone, or doesn't it really matter?
No, it really doesn't matter, because the energies are the important thing, really. You know, the words are there, yes, and the words help our mind to understand. But what I'm understanding is that the beings that come through are largely transferences of energy to the person, and, of course, the sounds as well. And so that's really what's really going on. It's, mm-hmm. it's really a transference of energy, and I'm just a channel of that.
Wow. Well, I want to get into some of this, but before we do, let's take a little short break, a breather, listen to a little of Michael Hammer's wonderful spiritual music, maybe get us into a frame of reference, and when we come back, give you an opportunity to sort of pull in and tap into some of these energies for us. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay, good. So bear with us. Michael Hammer will sort of mellow our minds out a little bit. We'll be back with Trish Regan and Into the Light with a soul reading.
Thank you.
sample album called Yule. And the music that he presents helps us go into kind of deeper transitional states. Trish uses his music to help form a meditation space for people. Trish is now going to form a space for us and help prepare the sacred space for where she's going to go and where she's going to take us into a soul reading. So, hold on to it.
All right. And what I will do is simply open to all of the beings of light who I am in contact with. And we will first create a sacred space, and then I will ask that whatever being is appropriate to come forth now to give a message to all of us, to the listeners, that it will be the exactly perfect wisdom that we need to hear or that we is appropriate for us to hear in the moment. And so, let us begin by taking a deep breath and just becoming very quiet within. And if we can all imagine that there is a beautiful sphere of white light surrounding us, this is the light of God, a light of protection, through which only the highest energies that walk in the light of God may enter during this time. And we acknowledge the presence of God, Goddess, all that is. And we invite to be with us now the Ascended Masters. All of our spiritual guides. The angels. The archangels. The dolphins, the whales, and any being of light from higher dimensions who resonate only with the highest energy and vibration of unconditional love. And we ask for one of these beautiful beings of light who guide us and guard us to come forth with a message now for all of us. And we will pause for a moment. And the Divine Mother, Mary, is here to speak to us. So we will step aside and listen. I bring greetings of great love, great compassion, great truth, great awareness of all that is to all of you. I am here today to bring you a message of hope and of joy. For many of you understand and know that there are more energies now available, higher energies of light flooding down upon you from higher realms, and not only from these higher realms, but from within you and the depths of your heart. For within your heart lies the seed of your soul. I am here today to assist you in moving into a new level of acceptance of the immense power that lies within you, within your hearts, within your minds, within the higher mind that connects you on a much higher level with the truth of your being. For many of you know and feel your connection with all that is. However, there is another level to which you may succeed in raising your vibrational frequencies. And now is the time, for all of you are being called to come forth now with your greatest gifts. Many of you understand and feel the inklings, the beginnings of inspiration that will take you into a new way of being that you have never even imagined. For Spirit is just waiting for you. Do not process this information in the form of a judgment about your progress, however. It is very important that each of you hold yourselves in the highest regard, in the highest esteem. For in doing so, you are honoring not only your soul, but all existence and all that is. It is this honoring that is so important now. For some of you say to yourself, why cannot I be in the place that I desire spiritually? Why do I keep going back into the old patterns that keep me in the lower vibrational frequencies? Why cannot I move into my power fully? And I am here to tell you this day that we who guide you and guard you understand the workings of the soul. We understand fully that it is necessary for each and every one of you to experience that which is before you. It is your acceptance of these experiences in the knowledge that each experience, whether it is painful or joyous, is a stepping stone to your higher awareness. And so the journey itself is the joy when you can move into that understanding and that acceptance that wherever you find yourself is in the perfection of your soul's journey. You have permission from your soul, from your guides, from your angels, from the dolphins and the whales and the masters, to allow yourself the freedom to experience each and every experience until you feel that it flows naturally from your heart for you to move into the next level for yourself. This message is important for each of you to take into your hearts, for these words are simple, but the meaning is very profound for you. For most of you have some sort of self-judgment within you, and this does not serve love. It does not serve compassion. For you to express compassion to others and to serve others as you deeply desire, you must first have a deep sense of compassion for yourself. And each and every one of you know what we are speaking about. Each and every one of you have your secrets, your secret shames. And we are here now to tell you that even those darkest secrets that lie within the shadow are blessed. Even those dark aspects of yourself that you are afraid to see, that you are afraid to uncover, are lovable and are loved and are filled with the essence of all that is. And so my message to you today is for you to take this compassion deep into your heart, deep into your soul, deep into your body, so that there will be no judgment upon you. And this act in itself, this process that we will experience today, will assist you in opening the doors wide open so that you may then take your next step. in freedom from self-guilt and self-shame. And so, I am here to bring this gift to you through sound, through tones. And you can imagine when you hear these tones that will assist you in coming into a deep forgiveness of yourself, in clearing that shame and that inner judgment. When you hear these tones, allow them to resonate within your heart. Allow them to resonate within your soul. And then allow them to resonate within your body, within the cellular structure. For it is time now for spirit to merge with matter. It is time to bring consciousness and awareness fully present within the intelligence within your cellular structure and within the cell walls and the intercellular structures as well. And so this will be accomplished during this time and this process. And so we will have each of you now then focus upon your heart. Breathe into your heart. Become aware of any walls that surround your heart that prevent you from giving love or from receiving love. Be aware of any walls of guilt or shame. And now, as your consciousness resides within your heart, I will make some sounds that will assist you in bringing in fully this beautiful energy of compassion and love that will fill your soul, your heart, and your body. And pay particular attention to the feelings within your body when you hear these tones, for then you will remember this tone that will free you forever of your guilt, your judgment, and your shame, if you are willing to let go of them. And so, we will pause for a moment, and then we will begin. So I invite you to feel this essence. Feel these tones reverberating within you now. Know that you may be free of these weights upon your spiritual journey. You may be free of these aspects of yourself that judge you and tell you that you are not doing it fast enough, that you are not opening to deeper levels as you should. Acceptance of your journey is the key. When you come to this acceptance, then you are living in the still point between heaven and earth, between light and dark, between spirit and matter. From that point, then, you may allow the floodgates to open so that your soul, your spirit, can flow with all of its splendor, all of its power, in all directions, wherever you choose. Your journey shall become free, easy, effortless, and joyous. This does not mean that you will not have come before you blockages and challenges and pains. But if you resonate with these energies of light, you will have a higher perspective of these aspects of life. And these higher aspects, these higher energies and vibrations will help you through those times of hard churning and darkness. And you will more easily be able to find the joy once again. And so I give you my blessings of love. I give you my blessings of compassion. You are loved. You are lovable. You are honored by those of us in the other realms who know you so well. We know your history. We know your possible futures. We are here for you whenever you choose. And so we say farewell. With love in our hearts, and so it is, and we are complete.
And so be it. Welcome back. The tones went right through my body like... It's hard to describe, I'm sure, on the radio, because we're broadcasting at such a low bandwidth that the resonance won't be quite as dynamic, but perhaps it will, because it seemed to reach beyond normal physical boundaries as far as I was concerned.
Yes, I think Spirit will take care of that.
Yeah, so whoever was supposed to be getting that, and I was transported in time and space to various places, but right away when you began chanting, I found myself in the sense of a seen village with people like Mother Mary and others like her of the Essenes sharing in a collective prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting, you started out with the singularity of Mother Mary, but when you finished, you were speaking for a collective. Our,
yeah,
was the way that you were expressing it, as if there was a... There was a number that was behind this message.
Yes, yes. Well, I choose to believe that it was all of the masters and saints and angels, mm-hmm, and dolphins and whales, mm-hmm, because, you know, we are not alone. We are absolutely not alone. And I think that's what holds a lot of us back from moving into that next level of being, and that is because we feel alone. You know, we have fear within us that... that we won't be accepted, you know, that we're all alone in this, that the more that you can touch those energies and open to those possibilities, that they are here, they're so close, the veils are so thin now,
yeah,
you know, that all we have to do is ask.
And there's a it seems like an army of ascended masters just standing by waiting to assist us in that task.
Yes.
Certainly it feels as if when one taps into this primal root of joy, the energy is just unfathomable. It goes on and on infinitely. Mm. And I sense that from what you were bringing forth, particularly the tones almost more than the words, because the words, as we know, only are a linear way of describing a binary coding, if you will, of something that is so far beyond. It's quite a privilege to be able to be here and feel the vibrational frequency shift. So congratulate you for bringing us to that space, Trish.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And we thank Mother Mary. We thank the Divine
Mother Mary. Yes. Yeah. Well, I would encourage those of you listening to the show who resonated with Trish's message that she does do this on an individual basis. I think I mentioned that if you do send in emails to myself, I will forward it to Trish, or if you want to get in touch with Trish directly through her EssentialJoy.com network, she would be able to set up an appointment where she could go in and channel these entities and these very, very powerful energy frequencies directly to you. And, of course, in the rapport of a telephone conversation or a live presentation with somebody, you have the action, you have the rapport that's developed. You can ask questions and receive information more directly. This was kept in general terms, and yet I do believe that those of us who are receiving this information are getting it on so many different levels.
Yes, yes. And actually, it's EssentialJoy.net.
Thank you for correcting that.
Yes.
It's DolphinSpiritOfHawaii.com.
Yes, we have two websites.
And on that site, you can find the Essential Joy links and information about that, as well as your soul readings, the Into the Light soul readings.
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned very briefly that you're about to start a spiritual mission here coming up. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Well, this is interesting. We have been guided, and really for many, many, many years, I have wanted to give a spiritual gift not related to money. I know, there is an exchange of energy, and of course we charge for our spiritual seminars and our readings and things, but it has been in my soul to bring some sort of spiritual gift to the world. And so we were guided a few months ago. We did have our house for sale, but now we think we're going to build on, but we were thinking we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have a place anyway. And so Spirit said, well, you're to bring this energy out to the world. So we've been guided to travel throughout the U.S. and Europe starting in April. We already have some places already planned, but what we're going to do is be bringing these channelings, group channelings, out for no charge. We would like to visit a certain place, let's say San Francisco or Seattle or wherever. And we're asking for people who would be interested in sponsoring us and having us come and stay in their home, because we're not financing this by the usual means, we would offer our channelings for no charge or a love donation if people wanted to, and we'd be able to have personal questions. And then if we could stay in their home for 5 to 7 days, so that then we can do the soul readings and possibly do some workshops along the way. But this is the main purpose of this. We call it a spiritual mission because the main purpose is to bring this channeling energy to as many places as we can. And so we're really excited about it, and we have some things set up in Europe and some in the U.S., and we haven't really planned the whole thing yet. Spirit's good doing this, so.
Well, over the years, you've had hundreds, if not thousands, of people that you've come in contact with and either worked directly or indirectly and listened to your messages. So it seems to me that you have quite a network that's already out there and established.
Yes.
Shouldn't be too hard for you to connect the dots, so to speak.
Yes, and that's really all we have to do now is just connect the dots. And it's very exciting. We've never done this before, and we've never traveled for more than, let's say, 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah, well, this is quite an undertaking. Do you have a scope of time? You're leaving in the spring, but
yes. We see it as being 3 months because
3 months. Okay.
We have another seminar planned here in Hawaii in August. So
okay, so
we
there's
have
the
to
line.
Be back.
Yeah, gotta get back in time for bringing it all back home,
mm-hmm.
and then everything will be taken care of. You're hopefully magically the house will be transformed when you come back.
Oh, yes, that's what we, our vision now is to add on to our house and to create a real center that we have enough rooms for having small seminars in our home, and then it would be a vacation rental or a retreat center, and that's sort of our dream now. So now we're looking for investors.
Yeah. Well, I know you've used your house, and you use some of the local hotels. I know the beautiful Keaho Resort has been a place that you've frequented. Do you find that new seminars are being born, and like, you know, a couple of new seminars are and you're sharing time and space with other teachers and healers as well?
Yes, it's so interesting you bring that up right now, Douglas, because we just finished our Dolphin Transformation Seminar, and all of us in the group came to know that that was our last Dolphin Transformation Seminar, that particular format. What has happened, and our next seminar is called Mastering Joy with Dolphins, Whales, and Angels. And what we're learning is that we are all masters, and so we're kind of letting go of format now, and we're allowing spirit to just guide the seminars, and it's been so magical because now we do the channelings, and we just take where the group is right now and what does the group need? You know, what are the aspects of spirit that can come through right now for this particular group in this particular time? And so we are moving with our work into a higher level of being, we believe. And yes, we are co-facilitating with some very interesting people. We did a nutritional seminar with Christine Roche. It was fascinating, along with the Dolphin Energy to help us to make our bodies more healthy. We're working with Ramona Sierra, who is a wonderful Native American medicine woman, and she brings to the work an incredible amount of ability to communicate with the animals and wonderful healing. And we worked with another woman, Deanna Natty, who teaches the Bowen therapy technique, and we utilize the dolphin energy to assist us in that healing. And so, yeah, a lot of interesting things are happening.
Seems like we mentioned the word liquid fire before, and liquid gold, and liquidity of consciousness seems to be a new tier of thinking, a new availability to us. So just as Joan often would say that she would go into a meditation before each meeting of the seminar to determine what the nature of the information that this group was calling for. And on a day-to-day basis, it wasn't one overall theme so much as it was, you know, and Joan could talk hours, and she has talked hours on a variety of subjects, but she would allow spirit, if you will, to guide her intuition into bringing forth the information that would be of most benefit to the people. And it sounds like you're doing pretty much the same kind of thing.
I guess so, yes. It's we're being so guided that this is now what we need to do is really live in the moment and not plan everything out. That's kind of the old matrix now.
It's true. Letting go of the controls, trusting that you are buoyant and liquid, and that you will find this path of least resistance to get the biggest energy flow going with the people that you need to work with.
Yes, it's really fun that way, too, because nobody knows what's going to happen, and it's always magical.
Yeah. Well, you kind of like put up the parameters, and we're going to start and finish here, and whatever happens in between is what we're trusting spirit will bring to us.
Right.
And as I've come to believe, the universe does play fair here, and that it's not out to get us. We're not here to suffer or to go through trials and tribulations. That was somebody else's opinion of what should happen. They did a very good job of formatting that for much of our culture, and we're starting to let go of those unnecessary programs now.
Exactly.
And your work and the work that you've been doing here is very much a part of that whole overall process. And the people who need your particular way of expressing this are finding you. And I believe that they will continue to find you. And as you expand your ministry, as I like to say, because it is very much like a ministry. It's a calling. It's deep from within you. Your connection to spirit, God, the all that is, all those energies are very much akin to somebody who has the same inspiration from, you know, to take the word out and into the unknown.
Yeah.
So it's I'm very grateful for your commitment to helping all of us grow together, Trish.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm very grateful to the dolphins and the whales and to Joan Ocean, who began our journey. And we will continue our dolphin seminars and, you know, open to spirit and see what happens.
Absolutely. Well, look forward to sharing some more time and space with you, both in the water and perhaps on these airwaves. The next time that you'll come before me, we'll decide when it feels right. But I'd like to have Doug join you, and two of you can kind of discuss maybe how this spiritual mission has developed and some of the things that are laying out before you. I'm sure that the listeners will find it interesting how spirit moves and works in different ways that will help shape what our future destinies are going to be with a co-creative process.
Oh, we'd be so happy to do that, Douglas. Yes. Thank you so much for today.
And thank you. Thank you for sharing from the very core of your being. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank the listeners for tuning into this program. This program is made possible by Photon.net, Randy Barris, and the crew at Photon. Randy's been here diligently for all these weeks and handling the controls, making sure that the sound levels are good and that the segues are happening. I appreciate that. And for all the people who've sent in the kind words, if you do have any questions about today's show, or perhaps want to get in touch with Trish and can't remember what we just said or it blows on by, once again, it's DolphinSpiritOfHawaii.com or EssentialJoy.net. And that's Trish Reagan and Doug Hackett. You can also send any questions to broadcast@dolphinville.com, and I'll be happy to forward anything along to her. She is a part of the community, never too far away, always there at a moment's notice to help somebody, and they do provide space for people coming in here to stay, and are great, great purveyors of information, both on a local and spiritual level. So, without going much farther, thank you all for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next week. There'll be a mystery guest coming up. Please hang in there. Keep the cards and letters going, and I will look forward to being with you again. This is Dolphinus, and repeating what the dolphins have said so often to me, please be well and swim free. I'll see you again.